And we're scheduled to be in our series on vitamin C's for a healthy home. I'm scared that some members might try to maybe do something about false advertising. We've had that up in the lobby that we have a Sunday night series on vitamin C's for a healthy home. We're in week number 7 of the new year, and we've only been through 2 of those. It's about the least cohesive series, preaching series, in the history of preaching series. We've had Vision Night and Victory Night, and then we had Brother Sammy preach one Sunday night, and I don't know all that's taken place. We just haven't been in that series very much, and the message for tonight is basically done, and I'm supposed to be, I had planned to be preaching on that series tonight, but I figured if we haven't done it this much, I'm just going to leave it for another week and maybe get back to it next week. Actually, what took place early this week on Monday afternoon, a few of the church staff men and I, we got in Brother Doug's van and we drove down to Brother Doug Fisher's church in San Diego, and he runs a spiritual leadership conference there, and I'd never been to it, and so we drove down on Monday afternoon and went to the evening service, heard 2 preachers, got up in the morning and went to the morning services. I think we heard 3 or 4, I can't remember right now, 3 preachers maybe, on Tuesday morning, and at lunchtime we drove back, and we were back here early Tuesday afternoon. We were over there maybe 18 hours or so and heard 4 or 5 preachers, but on Tuesday morning there was a preacher that was preaching a message, and I liked it so much I decided to preach. No, I didn't. I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm doing. But as he was preaching in this passage, 2 Samuel chapter number 12, the Lord showed me something from God's Word, spoke to me in a completely different way as we were reading verses to support some points in his message. Had nothing to do with what he was actually preaching. And this, that sounds bad, like I wasn't listening. I was listening, but God was speaking to my heart about some other things from these verses. And I saw some things, and I jotted myself a note. If you're a teacher or preacher, you know about how this works. Sometimes that happens. I jotted myself a note. I emailed myself, actually, with some thoughts, and then I listened to the rest of the message. And when I got back to my office on Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday morning, I began to look back through this passage. And I hadn't planned to preach it tonight, just for my own self, to look at it, but I couldn't get off my heart, and I thought, I'm going to bring that, what the Lord gave me on Tuesday morning, the seed thought, and then what developed in my heart this week, I'm going to bring that this evening, this Sunday night, and hopefully it'll be a help to you as well. Do you remember where you were on that fateful day of September 11th, 2001? When for the first time in most of our lifetimes, we as Americans were attacked within our own borders. My wife and I, we were a young married couple, just having been married a little over a year, and we were in the midst at our church. We host an annual pastors and workers conference, and we were in the midst of hosting that conference. We had had the opening night on Monday night, and Tuesday we had laid at night there, and I was in the office late that night working on some things after the services were done and had gotten home maybe midnight or 1 o'clock, something like that, and woke up early the next morning to get ready to go back to the church for the morning sessions and the things that we had to do. And we were there getting ready on that Tuesday morning. We lived a distance from the church, and so because of the way that schedule worked, and we only had 1 vehicle, we actually were staying at my in-laws' home. They lived in a home right near the church neighborhood there. And so I was in my in-laws' home getting ready that morning for the Tuesday morning services of our pastor's conference. And this was before, children, get ready for this, was before smartphones and Twitter and Facebook. You had to get your news the old-fashioned way. Somebody called you on the phone and told you something big is happening, right? And by the way, kids, it was called a landline. If you don't know what that is, ask your parents about that. It's a phone that's actually connected to a wall in your house. And some crazy technology back then. And so somebody called the house that Tuesday morning. And they said, turn on the news. Did you hear what happened? Did you see what happened? And I was getting ready, and my wife came in, and she said, something happened in New York, and come out. And I walked out and saw the live, and you see the one. This is showing the impact of the second one, but the first one was on fire, at this point, they didn't know what was going on. First thought, we kind of thought, well, was it just somehow did a pilot mistakenly fly into a building on accident? And we thought, that can't be. That's too low. That's too much of a coincidence. That's not possible. And as we were watching the news, I remember as some of the live feeds, that second plane hit the second Twin Towers, and we watched that unfold. It was a tragedy for our nation. Outrage in our nation, tears, anger, fear. I remember the president called for a day of prayer. He called, I think it was Thursday, if I remember correctly. He asked all places of worship to have their doors open, to be unlocked for people to come pray. I remember that Sunday morning at our church where the place was packed, and maybe it was the same here. People coming back to God or at least getting back to church that week. And people, I remember we had a famous football player, if I named the name, you would know him, that came the next Wednesday night. He had been shaken up by this news, and he came to our church, and people were in church, and it was in our lives, in our country, there was sadness for those who had lost their lives and for those who had given their lives trying to rescue others. There was outrage and tears and anger and fear. And during those dark days and the weeks and months to follow, a two-word mantra became popular. We began in the weeks and the months to follow, maybe the year or two after, saying, never forget. Or they would say, we will never forget. What we were saying, this was such I remember going to a baseball game shortly thereafter and hearing the entire stadium singing, God bless America. If I remember correctly, I think that's when they started singing that at sporting events. I believe is when they started doing that, was after September 11th. And I was there and goosebumps on my arm. There was something about what was taking place in our nation and a realization that we needed God and singing, God bless America. And we will never forget. We will never forget what they did to us. We will never forget those that lost their lives. We will never forget those public servants that paid the ultimate price and those wives and those husbands and those children that lost loved ones. We will never forget, we said. As Americans, we promised we would never forget. The truth of the matter is that many in America undoubtedly have forgotten, or we forget for most of the year, and maybe then on the anniversary we're kind of reminded and the memories are rekindled somewhat. And we'll have ceremonies that will remind us to never forget, but that is the title of my message this morning. And it's not about America, it's not necessarily about September 11th, but those two words, never forget. Would you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 12, please? 2 Samuel chapter number 12. I believe this is the only passage we'll find ourselves in this evening. This Tuesday morning, I heard a man preaching from this passage. He was preaching an entirely different message. He was preaching a message on the fact that every person needs a friend like Nathan. And it was a powerful message. He went in to talk about different things about what Nathan did and how Nathan was a friend and how Nathan confronted David with his sin, but then how Nathan also stayed involved in David's life after his sin, and he didn't give up on him just because he had messed up, and some powerful things that he brought out from Scripture. And he was talking about that, but this is the chapter that gives us the story after David has committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and then conspired to have her husband Uriah killed. God sends the man of God, Nathan, to confront David over his sin. And we pick up the story in chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock. The rich man spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." And we know the story here. The man of God, the priest, Nathan comes to David with a message from God. And he comes and he says, David, you're not going to believe this. I'm going to tell you this story. But there was a rich man that had all kinds of stuff. And there was a neighbor of his that only had one lamb. And this guy had all kinds of lambs, and there came a traveler that was hungry, and the rich man said, instead of using one of mine from my surplus, I'm going to take that one lamb from that guy, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to kill it, and I'm going to dress it, I'm going to feed him with that. And David listened to that, and as you might imagine, thought, that's not right. That's completely unfair. That's not just. How could he do that? He had all kinds, and this guy only had one, and he took the one that he had, and he wouldn't have even missed the one there, and can't believe he would do that. And the Bible says his anger was kindled and he said, that man shall surely die and he's going to restore fourfold. And David was filled with wrath. And verse number 7. And Nathan said to David, what are the next four words, church? Thou art the man. David, you're the one I'm talking about. You had anything you wanted. You had the kingdom. You had wives. You had all that you wanted. This Uriah, he had one wife, Bathsheba. And you, instead of fulfilling your desires within your God-given blessings, you went out and sinned against this man. And you went out and took that picture, Bathsheba, that one little ewe lamb. Thou art the man. Now notice this. And these are the verses that gripped me. He said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. God said here through the prophet Nathan, God said here through the man of God, he said, David, how did you forget all that God had done? How did you forget that God had given you the kingdom and God had raised you up and God had given you all of these things? David, how could you forget all that God had done? God is saying to David, you forgot, David, that everything you had was from me. You forgot where it all came from. You got yourself into all this trouble because you thought it was all about you and your desires and your wants, and you thought because you were the king, you could do anything you want. You forgot who you really were. You forgot I was the one who was in control. And I was the one who gave you all of this. You forgot, David, who was really in control of your life and in your kingdom. And I read those verses, and I was convicted in my spirit. How often am I just like David? I forget that everything that I have, you notice that in verses 8 and 9, I, talking about God, I gave thee, I delivered thee, I forget it's all about him. Start to think it's about me. Well, look at the good marriage I have maybe, or look at the opportunity I have to be a pastor, and look at this, I get to preach, and look at this, that we get to have this, and God's given us children here, and look at this, and any good thing that happens, well, look at that, it's not about me. It never has been, but sometimes I think that it is. Sometimes, like David, I forget about who it really is all about in my life, and I would imagine if I do this, that the same thing sometimes happens to you. I forget that everything I have is because of him. I forget who is really in control, and I exalt myself instead of humbling myself. Tonight, I want to challenge each of us to never forget who it really is that has given us all of the things that we have. To never forget who it is who has blessed us, because when we forget, it's a dangerous thing to forget. And when we forget, I want to give you a few thoughts. When we forget, number one, it leads to pride. When we forget who has given us what we have and whose we are and who we're serving and what our purpose for living is, it leads to pride. It's interesting that Nathan used the illustration of a shepherd. Because David understood that illustration very well. You see, David was a shepherd boy. David knew all about the sheep and the shepherd. David knew all about how the fact that the sheep can't do anything on their own, that they're totally dependent upon the shepherd. David understood that if the sheep are going to be fed, it's all because the shepherd cared for them. David understood that if the sheep are going to be protected, it's all because the shepherd put that sheepfold around them and stood watch at the gate. David understood all about the sheep and the shepherd. He understood this illustration perfectly. And you see what happened is that David, as he rose to prominence, and as God blessed him, David forgot who he was and he began to view himself as the shepherd and those under him as the sheep. He began to view those that were above him in his kingdom. He was the shepherd and those in his kingdom were the sheep. Bathsheba was a sheep that was there for his pleasure. He was the shepherd. Uriah was a man that was in the way of David keeping his reputation clean, and so he was disposable because he was nothing more than just a lowly sheep, and David thought he was the shepherd. He forgot who he was. David thought he was the shepherd. That is a far cry from the words found in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. The Lord is my shepherd. Whoever wrote Psalm 23 understood, I am the sheep. He is the shepherd. He's the one that takes care of all of my needs. Who wrote that? Who penned those words? David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does that mean? I'm the sheep. I'm the one that everything that I have comes from God. But David got to the place, we see it here, where he forgot that it was about God, and that led him to pride. It led him to believe he was the shepherd that could do what he wanted with the sheep, that could do what he wanted with those that were around him. And he believed, at one time, he believed that he was the sheep. At one time, he had no desire for great power. At one time, he was a humble young man. At one time, he didn't desire Bathsheba. At one time, David understood that it was God that was in control. You go back to David and Goliath, and what did he say? Our God will deliver us. And he said, it's God that's going to give me the power. Is there not a cause that all that they might know there is a God in Israel? Everything that David did back there as the shepherd boy was all about God and pointing to God and remembering who it was that he was living for. But he gets here and he forgets. And all of a sudden he starts to think, look at what I've done. I'm a self-made man. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I have. Look what I've done. And Nathan came back and said, you're not the shepherd. You're the sheep. If anybody should have understood the sin of pride and the power of forgetting who was really in control, it should have been David. Who did David replace on the throne of Israel? King who? Saul. You go back, and we won't turn there, but you go back and you read about when that happened in 1 Samuel. You go back in 1 Samuel, and what happened? There was a king who was on the throne of Israel who was visited by a prophet, by a man of God, that told him, you've lifted yourself up in pride, therefore God's going to deal with you. Does that sound familiar? David, the king on the throne of Israel, visited by a prophet, by a man of God, Nathan. The exact same thing was happening. What happened? Samuel was the man of God who visited Saul, and he spoke these words to Saul, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. David watched as one man sitting on the throne of Israel was demoted and was taken off and lost his position and his power because he forgot who was in control. And the man of God came and said, when you were little in your own sight, when you knew you were the sheep and he was the shepherd, I made you great and I gave you power and I gave you position and I gave you influence. But when you became great in your own eyes, I have rejected thee from being king. If anybody should have understand who was the shepherd and who was the sheep and the sin and the danger of pride in forgetting who God is and what he's called us to do, it should have been David. He watched King Saul do the exact same thing before him. And God told Saul, because you forgot who gave you your greatness, you will lose it. Because you forgot what it was that God blessed, which was your humility, your blessing will be removed. David at one time was the shepherd boy who was exalted to king because of the king who forgot who was the real shepherd. And now the tables are turned. Let me say that again. There was one point when David was the shepherd boy who was exalted king because there was a king who forgot who was the real shepherd and lifted himself up in pride. And then David did the exact same thing. When we forget that it's all from God, that it's all for God, that it's all about him and it's not about us, it leads us to pride. Number two, when we forget, it leads us to treating others harshly. It leads us to treating others harshly. Notice verse number 5. Would you see verse number 5? And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. I heard the preacher say this Tuesday morning. He said, I'm pretty sure killing a sheep was not a capital offense. The punishment for killing someone's sheep was not the death penalty. But that's yet what David did. Because when we get lifted up, when we forget it's all about God, when we think it's all about us, we will then deal with others harshly. When we forget how God has dealt with us, we deal harshly with others. When we forget God's forgiveness to us, we have a hard time forgiving others. Brother Gabe Rule said something, and I may not get the quote exactly right, but yesterday at the couples refresher, he was talking about forgiveness, and he said something along the lines of, anybody can forgive anyone of anything because they have been forgiven of everything by God. Something along those lines. But when we forget about how God has dealt with us, then we end up treating others harshly. He needs to die. He killed a sheep. That wasn't the appropriate punishment. But his pride lifted him up. Do you remember what Christ said in John 8 when the Pharisees brought to him the woman taken in the very act of adultery? I told you we weren't going to turn anywhere else. I forgot we are. Turn over to John chapter 8. Hold your hand here in 2 Samuel. Go with me. I think this is the only place we're going to turn, but you never know what surprises might pop up in my notes here. John chapter number 8. I want you to see the words of Christ. If you find yourself having an unforgiving spirit, have you forgotten what God did for you? When you find yourself lifted up in pride, never forget it was God that gave you everything good in your life. When you find yourself having a hard time forgiving those who have hurt you, never forget that it was God that's forgiven everything of you. John in chapter number 8, verse number 4. They say unto him, this is the Pharisees, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now notice what they say in verse number 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? What kind of demented, evil, deranged, just harsh type of people? They bring a lady and say, did you know what's wrong with her? And now Moses, basically, I mean, we're not telling you what to do, but Moses would have killed her. And I think they came maybe hoping that they would see her die that day. Moses in the law commanded that she would be stoned. Now what do you say? Notice verse number 6. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So, and by the way, that's a good thing to do sometimes, is to take your time in answering when there's a situation that maybe is a little bit tough to answer there. And Christ, he bends down on the ground and starts writing in the dirt with his finger. Verse number 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, God, Moses, in the law, said she deserves death. That's fine. Go ahead. Whoever doesn't have any sin of his own to deal with, go ahead and deal with hers. Verse number 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, verse number 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. What happened? They had forgotten what they really were, and because of it, they were treating others harshly. Being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse number 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She saith, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The power of forgiving love. The power of mercy. These guys forgot what they had in their own lives, and because of it, they treated somebody else harshly. Now, she was taken in the very act. They caught her in the act of adultery, Jesus. And Moses in the law said, if that ever happened, we should stone. What do you think? That's fine. Whoever doesn't have anything in their own lives that need to be dealt with from the law, go and throw the first stone. They had forgotten, hadn't they? Forgotten what manner of men they were, hadn't they? They had forgotten what they needed to be forgiven of, hadn't they? They had forgotten what was in their own life, and one by one they walked out, and no longer were they treating her harshly. Why? Because they had a clear picture of who they really were. When we forget God's forgiveness in our lives, when we forget His blessings and His mercy, and it's all about Him, it leads to pride. It leads to us treating others harshly. It leads, number 3, to blindness to our own failures. Back in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, we read that whole passage. Now it would seem that you would understand, David would be able to figure out kind of the word picture that's going on here. Now, David, there was a man that had a whole bunch of stuff. He had a whole lot of things that he got to enjoy. And there was this one guy who only had one sheep, and the man who had a lot took the one who only had one. You would think that that might have clicked, especially given the history. They understood Saul had been visited by Samuel, and he undoubtedly he had guilt in his heart. We know he had guilt because he had Uriah killed. and he was worried about what if people would find out about it. He had to have been, that had to have been eating him up. But when he forgot who God was in his life, it led to blindness to his own failures. His sin was being described right in front of him, and he couldn't figure it out. We heard this yesterday. We often judge others by their actions, and we judge ourselves by our motives. We judge others by what they do. We judge ourselves by what we were planning to do, by what we meant to do, by what we thought we, but what they should have known we were trying to do. We are blind if we're not careful to our own failures. If we're not careful, we start to think we're really not all that bad. Number four, when we forget, we see in David's life it leads to disobedience to God. Notice verse number 9. Verse number 9 in 2 Samuel 12. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. It leads to disobedience to God. All of us, when we forget, and don't miss this, when we forget to keep God where he belongs in our lives, all of us are capable of doing anything. When we forget who God is, and it's God that gives us the strength to live for him, and we start thinking, well, I've been saved a long time, and I really know this book, and God's really used me, and I've been in the church, I'm a pillar of the church, and I'm a Sunday school teacher, I work on the bus route, I sing in the choir, I'm a deacon, I'm a staff member, I'm this, I'm that, and we forget who it is, we forget about his grace. That song says, what about his grace? What about all he's done? What about the blood he shed on Calvary to wash our sins away? What about his grace? We forget about his grace and his mercy and his love and his forgiveness. We are capable of deep, dark, vile wickedness. It is amazing what we can and will do when we forget who is in control in our lives. We need to go back to remembering, to humbling ourselves, to saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God, you're in control, I don't need Bathsheba. God, you're in control, I don't need this pleasure. God, you're in control, this is not about me. It's not about what I can get out of this kingdom. God, you are in control. And I see, fifthly and lastly here, it leads to destruction in our family. Destruction in our family, verse number 10. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, to be thy wife. Again, in context, God's saying, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. You despised me. You forgot. You forgot who I was in your life. And because of that, it will affect your family. Our sin does have an effect. His family faced consequences for generations because of his sin of pride, of exalting himself, of forgetting who God really was and where he belonged in David's life. The Bible tells us, it says, I will visit the iniquities of the fathers under the third and fourth generation. So, like the Americans, we in our country said on September 11th, we said, may we never forget. Christians, may I challenge us tonight, may we never forget who God is and what he's done in our lives. What did David forget, and what should we seek to forget, to never forget in our lives? We need to remember it's not of us, it's all of him. May we never forget that our power is all of him. Verse number 7, these are the two verses. We'll look at these and I'll let you be on your way. Verse number 7, what did he say? And Nathan said to David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. The next three words, read them with me, church. I anointed thee. What is anointing? It's a picture of God's power, of God's blessing, of God's usefulness. And you remember the story when they came to David's brothers? They came and talked to his dad, and they said, the king's going to come from your house. And he brought his brothers in, and they asked him, do you have another brother? Do you have another son? Well, yeah, but you don't want him. He's just a shepherd boy. That's exactly who I want. Remember when that, and he was anointed king? He was the least of his own house. He was unlikely, the least likely to be made king. And David forgot that his power was from God. David forgot that his usefulness was from God. What did Jesus Christ say in John 15:5? I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Have we forgotten that? And I had a pretty good Sunday school class today. Look what I can do. Boy, that was a pretty good message I preached today. Did you see that one came forward today? Man, I really got to him with that story there. Boy, I really put together a great outline today, didn't I? any power that any of us have in our lives. Boy, we're really enjoying a good relationship and a good marriage right now. Any power, any usefulness, any anointing in our lives, it's all of Him. And let us not get ourselves out of order, and let us not get to where we view ourselves as the shepherd and those around us as the sheep. Let us, like David, learn and return, as Samuel said to Saul, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, let us never forget that any power, any usefulness, any good that we have in our lives, any time that God uses us, it's not us, it's all of Him. I read those two verses, and God said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. David, your power, your usefulness, any good thing in your life, it's from Me. And David, you forgot about that, and that's what led you to pride, and that's what led you to harsh treatment, and that's what led you to disobedience and to sin that destroyed your life, and that's what destroyed your family for generations. David, you forgot it was all of Me. Never forget. Not only is our power all of Him and from Him, I see our salvation is from Him. Notice what He said. And I anointed thee. I have these underlined in my Bible, all these statements. I anointed thee, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. His physical protection in our lives is from Him. His eternal spiritual protection is from God. What did David say in Psalm number 51? It's a familiar verse. Restore unto me the joy of thy what? Salvation. You know what? You know when David wrote Psalm 51? He wrote Psalm 51 right after 2 Samuel 12. Right after the prophet Nathan had visited him and confronted him with his sin. And then it's interesting, what did David say? God, I forgot to just rejoice in the fact that You saved me, that You delivered me, that You anointed me. Restore unto me. That means it was lost. That means it was broken. That means it was forgotten. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God, I forgot my salvation. I forgot the joy of my salvation. I forgot that it was all of You. I just grew accustomed to it. I just got used to it. Let us never get over the fact that God has protected us, and God gives us health, and God delivers us, and God has eternally delivered us through the gift of His precious Son, Jesus Christ. God, would You restore unto me the joy of thy salvation? Help me to never forget that You're a good, good God, how good You are. What was he saying? God, help me to remember after Nathan confronted him. God, help me to remember that it's all about You. He said, God, create in me a clean heart in Psalm 51. Renew a right spirit within me. God, help me to get back to where I used to remember it was all about You, where I used to have that right relationship with You. And I read that and I thought, Ryan, be careful. Yes, God is blessed. And yes, God is using and God is blessing the ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. And there are wonderful people that You love and that love You. And yes, these are wonderful opportunities. And yes, you're excited about where God has you and your family. And yes, at this point, your marriage is together and your kids. But Ryan, as I read those, I sat there on that Tuesday morning, and it was like God smote my heart and said, Ryan, be careful. Don't get lifted up in pride. It's not about you. It never has been, and it never will be. It's all about Him. The same is true for us. May we never forget our power is all of Him. Our salvation is all of Him. Our possessions are all of Him. Notice verse number 8. What did God say? And I gave thee thy master's house. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Well, I'm a self-made man. Look at what I've done. Look who I am. It is God that setteth up and teareth down. Promotion is of the Lord. Don't ever lose track of proper ownership in your life. All things were created by Him, and for His pleasure they are and were created. You and I don't own anything. We're stewards. The house you own, you don't own. The bank probably owns it anyways, but I like that. I heard one of our members this morning saying, somebody said, yeah, they just bought a house, and he said, we're renting from the bank now, and I thought that was pretty good. But we don't own anything that we have. It's not ours. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Never forget. Our possessions are from Him, and they're His. You and I don't own anything. When we remember the fact that God has given it all to us, we are much happier and we use our things much more wisely. When we think we are owed something, when we think we have earned it, we get greedy, we get covetous, we get dishonest. Never forget, it is God that's given you what you have and has given me what I have. Number 4, It's all about Him. Never forget that our relationships are from Him. I gave thee thy master's house, and notice what it says, and thy master's wives into thy bosom. Our relationships. Thank God for your family, your friends, your church family, but never forget it's of God. Whoso findeth a wife, Valentine's Day today, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. It's from God. Never forget. Well, my biceps had a little something to do with it, right? How you guys, some of you, you know, the good looks, and she couldn't resist. It's not about us. Whatever relationships we have, friendships that we have, those are gifts from God. He gave Him His relationships, our position. I want you to see, and we're almost done. You've listened well. Our position is from God. What did He say in verse number 8? After that, He said, and He gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. Our position. He made Him king over Israel. He gave Him the house of Israel and Judah. That was not because of David. That was because of God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The position that God has given you, the influence that God has given you, the power, the abilities, the gifts, the job, the provision, the talents, the relationships, the friendships, the possessions, those are all of God. Never, never, never forget. And then lastly, our blessings are all from Him. Notice what it says at the end of verse number 8. And God said, and David, if that had been too little, if that wasn't enough, I gave you power and salvation and possessions and relationships and position. If that had been too little, notice what He said, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. David, I gave you everything you needed, and I would have given you anything else that you needed or wanted, but you forgot who you were, and you forgot who I was, and you forgot where all this came from, David, and you took something that I never intended for you to have, and you stole something that was never supposed to be yours, and how did you get to this place, David, that it's going to affect your kingdom, and it's going to affect your influence, and it's going to affect your family? How did you get there, David? You got there because you forgot who I was. You thought you were the shepherd. But you're the sheep. You forgot the joy of your salvation. You had a wrong spirit in your life. And I read this and the Lord smote my heart. And I was reminded that my salvation is of God. And the opportunity to serve in this church is of God. And this property that we worship and serve herein is of God. This is not of man's doing. This is the Lord's work. It is marvelous in our eyes. Let us never think, well, I did this and look at what I did and look at what we did together. No, it's all about what God did through us. And to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. This property is of God. And my family is of God. And our freedom in America is of God. The Bible that I have to read today freely is of God. The ability to read and understand it is of God. He could take that in a moment if He wanted to. Our health is of God, and our wealth is of God. Our ability to serve is of God, and our ability to teach and to preach. Our relationships are of God. It's all of Him. He must increase, and I must decrease. Have you forgotten who it's all really about? Are you like me sometimes tempted to get puffed up with pride? Look at who I am. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at my family. Look at my whatever, fill in the blank, my career. You can talk, we all have different things that would lift us up in pride. Never forget. It's all of Him. God, help me never to forget. I don't want to end up needing a visit from a Nathan in my life because I've forgotten. I don't want you to need one either. God, forgive us, humble us, make us little in our own sight, and help us to never forget. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for these verses. I thank You for how You spoke to my heart this week. As I read those things, it seemed like You were speaking right to me as I read that I anointed thee and I delivered thee and I gave thee thy master's house and I gave thee thy master's wife and I gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that were not enough, I would have given You more things. And I thought, God, if David just would have remembered all that he had and if David just would have remembered where it was all from, he never would have found himself in the position he found himself in with Nathan coming to deliver some pretty bad news from thee. God, help me to learn from the mistakes of David and help our church family to never forget who this whole thing is all really about. Our heads bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand together. The piano begins to play. The altar's open. If God's spoken to your heart and you'd like to pray here, it's not where I'd planned to be tonight, but church, let us learn from David and never forget who he is and what He's done. The place He holds and who we are. As the young saying, I'm a sheep and He's a shepherd. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Let's learn from David. God, I thank You for Your word. Help us to take these thoughts and carry them with us. God, help me this week to humble myself. Help me never to forget all that You are and all that You've done and Your rightful place in my life, dear God. Help me not, like Satan, to lift myself up and say, I'll make myself like the Most High. Help me to stay little in mine own sight. And may our church family do the same, is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.